Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned into the Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and I will now turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, how are you, Terry?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty well.
Good.
Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Steve Whitaker, and this is a ministry of Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our phone number there is 740-494-2222. Our website is prospectccf.com. We'd love to have you join us sometime. We are a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, and hopefully most of the time, Bible-submitting fellowship. But, you know, I'll tell you what. We live in a world where it's tough sometimes. You know, to believe something, to know something, and to teach something, and then being obedient to it is not always the same thing. And sometimes being obedient can be the hard part. We all have good answers for everything, don't we, Terry?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do. I mean, you and I can sit here, and I bet we can solve half the world's problems, you know, in about 2 hours sitting here talking.
Right, right.
And but then there's implementing it. There's where you run into the real problem.
Yeah.
I find it kind of funny, you know, that everyone has... especially when you talk to people that, a lot of us talking heads, you know, we all have the right answers, but then what do we do when we walk away? Do we keep working towards that, or is it just something we want to say? And something has been on my mind a little bit. Actually, it's always on my mind, I think, is young people, and I'm really concerned about our young people today. I know that, you know, there are generation that'll be leading this world in a few years, and my concern isn't just what they do or what they know. It's how they feel and why, and I think that's something we don't always look at so much. You know, raising children for many generations was kind of a given in how it's done. I mean, from generation to generation, my jaws aren't working today. From generation to generation, it has been passed down that parents would teach their children a proper way to do things. Women would mentor younger women, teach them things at a certain age. I know that, you know, when up until 50 years ago, most women taught their daughters how to sew and make clothing and a lot of different things, how to cook and how to raise things in the garden to cook, how to can, how to prepare things. And even if you never were going to use those as an adult, there was something about that that brought you back to the earth. It brought you back to skills that you had more confidence in yourself because there's things you could do. You weren't just being entertained. There's actual things you could do. It's kind of funny. My mom could do just about anything. She was, mom was a widow twice. And in both those widow periods, she did things that a lot of ladies probably were not able to do. Because she grew up with a dad that taught her how to raise and skin rabbits for meat and go hunting and... do all these things that she could do and paint and how to use a hammer and how to use a tape measure. And you know, mom could work on it about anything and build it and do a good job. And those were skills that came in very handy when she found herself as a widow. You know, you got to put a new glass window in. What do you do when you're limited very much on income and your window breaks? You can measure it, go to the hardware store, you clean out the pane, you put in a new window. And you know, she knew how to do those things, and I think that a lot of people did over the years. And we've kind of gotten away from that. But those are just things that we do that build confidence. I'm going to talk a little bit about something we're not doing. I don't want to be a naysayer. I just want to talk about it because I would like people out there. And by the way, if you ever want to call in, I really welcome it. The number here is 740-383-9944. Call in. Let us know you're out there. Let us know if you like what we're talking about or if you have any questions about it or even any comments. We'd be glad to take those.
We just got one ground rule, though.
What's that ground rule, Terry?
That you know, just remember, keep the... The language and, you know, I mean,
keep it clean, right?
Yes.
Keep it clean and keep it nice.
Yep.
Keep it friendly.
That's the only...
you know, it's kind of funny.
We're not here to attack anybody, so we don't want, you know...
It's kind of funny. I was reading a post from Scott the other day that said something about something about we need to come together and everybody treat each other well.
Yeah.
And I find it interesting, even in a discussion, usually that means that one side or the other is supposed to be quiet about their opinion. And the truth is, I think that we can both have opinions and be kind about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But anyway, I understood his post, and I think that he's spot on with that. But what I was going to talk about, something that is a real burden to me, and that is why our young people are doing some of the things that they're doing. And one thing that I seriously want to look at here and talk a little bit, I want to talk to dads today. I want to talk in men in general. And if you are going to be a father, and if that's coming up, I want to talk to you a little bit today. I had a young person tell me one day, he said, "Hey, you know, so-and-so is going to be a daddy." And I looked at him and I said, "No," because this was another teenager. I said, "No, I don't think he's going to be a daddy." I said, he may have biologically fathered this child that's coming, but being a daddy involves a lot more than that. You know what I mean? And it really does. But and this goes back to a relationship of husband and wives, is what I want to read here from Ephesians chapter 6, or excuse me, 5, beginning in verse 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." In other words, Christ died for the church. Now, husbands, that tells you out there that you are to love your wives to the point of being willing to put your life on the line. That's a huge love, fellas. And it also doesn't say boyfriends love your wives. It says, let's be honorable. Mm-hmm. Husbands, love your wives mm-hmm. as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Now, what he's talking about the sanctification, that growing process, that cleansing process, that making her whole, with the cleansing of the word. In other words, the word of God with the cleansing of Christ through his word. And in other words, men out there, it is your responsibility to make sure that your wife is being fed spiritually. Now, that's amazing today when you think about it, because in many churches you go to, it's the women that are saying, "We need to be in church. We need to have the Bible in our family. We need to do devotions. We need to do that." You know, as far as God was concerned, men, you need to step up to the plate on this one. You know, this is something that you can do. Everyone's got their, everyone has their places and things that they do, and God gives everyone things and places they can do, and one of the things a man is to do is just that. Now, it doesn't mean that in an absence of a man that a woman can't do that, to teach the word. But he's saying, look, I want you to be able to teach the word, and I want you to be able to love your wife this much that you want to see her get, listen to this carefully, better every day in who she is, how she's viewed, the woman that she can become. You're to be behind that process, not tearing her down, not dragging her down to your level, not dragging her through the mud, but constantly and continually building her up. And then it says, once he's done this, it says in verse 27, that he might present her to himself a glorious part church. In other words, a glorious part of the body of Christ, which is the church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. In other words, beautiful. Beautiful. Now, it doesn't mean that she has to be the most attractive. It doesn't mean that she's physically just gorgeous. That's not what it means. It means that when you look at her, you see a pure, wonderful woman that is just wonderful. Just that. You know, and I want to tell you something, society out there, if you think that sounds like a sexist way to portray a woman, please explain to me why, when we see a woman viewed as something beautiful in TV and anywhere else in a wedding, they are beautiful. They even go to the extent of using the film on the camera so that it hides any blemishes, and they put them in a beautiful dress, and you see it, whether it's advertising perfume or anything else, you see a woman is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not sexist. It's beautiful. You see what I mean? But you're to present her as being that beautiful. Beauty from the inside out, in other words. She's so beautiful inside that it's recognizable on the outside. That's that no spot or wrinkle. And then it says, or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So what it's saying is, can I say this clearly? Put her first. Put her first. Now that's a challenge out there. And one of the challenges we have out there today is we think that women don't want to be treated that way. But the truth of the matter is, there's no one out there that doesn't want to be loved, which will lead me to my next subject. And that is the subject of, I want to talk a little bit about teen promiscuity and teen pregnancy. And what I want to toss out there is just this, Terry. To begin with, do you know that over 90% of our teens that become pregnant do not have a father active in their lives? I didn't say there wasn't a man in the house. I said there wasn't a father active in their lives. So what does that kind of tell us? If 90% of those girls don't have a father active in their lives, it tells you that there's something that's supposed to happen that is not happening. Otherwise, it would be pretty much a 50-50 thing, or a, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, it comes back to self-worth and desire. Little girls love their daddy. Do they not?
I agree.
And dads are supposed to love that little girl and cherish her. And the other thing is that little girls are supposed to see daddy loving mom that much. Now, if mom's got some issues that she doesn't want that or whatever, that's kind of on mom. But it doesn't relieve the responsibility of the father to be that person for that young woman to look at.
So they'll say it doesn't get him off the hook.
No, it does not get him off the hook. And, you know, young women, I was listening to a radio program earlier today. It was interesting. And there was a young lady on there that was being interviewed got pregnant when she was a senior in high school. She and her boyfriend decided to end the pregnancy. And she had said that. She said that her family's, how did I put that? Her family life, she felt, was secure. Her mom and dad never got along the best. But her dad was always there for her. Her mom was there for her. And she felt, now listen to this word, folks. It's a four-letter word. It's called S-A-F-E, safe. She felt safe. She felt secure in her home with her family. And her mom had always raised her to respect herself, to respect her body, and raised her that, you know, she didn't need to be promiscuous, that she needed to have respect for herself. And she did. And she was one of those girls in school that always got the good grades. She said she never got in trouble. Never got in trouble in school for anything. She was just one of those good girls, if you know what I mean. And when they would talk about teen pregnancy and stuff, she'd say never even enter her mind it could be her, because that's the, you know, that's not the kind of girl I am, right? Well, all of a sudden, when she finds herself going into her senior year, mom and dad suddenly get divorced. Mom moves out of state. She's left with dad. Now, she still had a good relationship with her father, but that safety was gone. That security of the home suddenly left. And she said she has got to the point that she was depressed. She didn't know what to do. She no longer felt secure. All these things started flooding into her life that she never thought would. And she ended up with a boyfriend. And why did she end up with a boyfriend and doing the things she shouldn't? Because she needed to feel the love and security that she wasn't feeling anymore. And unfortunately, young ladies, you can confuse affection from a young man is that love and security that you need. And you must be careful out there, because it's not always what the men have in mind. You know, I look back and I think of some situations with myself growing up, and I look at relationships between guys and girls. And a lot of times a young man will think, you know, if you really love me, you'll do A, B, or C, right? You know, because I'm feeling these unbelievable desires to do this because I love you so much. And, you know, he, at that moment, he's confusing hormones with true feelings. He's combining the two. And you know, the young lady many times will give in to that. But what if the young lady turns to him and says, you know what? I do think a lot of you, as much as you do me. And I, okay, kids, if you want to tell me you love them, that's fine. You know, I do love you. I really do. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not dating anyone else. I really like you. But I want to tell you something. If you really love me, we don't need to do this right now. You know, I want this to be down the road. I want this to be after we're married. I want you to respect me as a bride on our wedding night. And you know, you might be listening out there thinking, Pastor, you've lost your mind. You know, don't you know that we're living in 2019? Yes, I do. And I also know the condition the world's in right now, and it's a mess. And I also know the statistic that I just gave is that 90% of these girls' teen pregnancies are in homes where there's no active father that are active in the girls' lives. And when you start out with respect and you carry that respect over, and then you marry that mom before she's a mom, and you desire for her to be the best, most wonderful, well-rounded, happy, glorious woman in the world, it's going to make a difference. And when you have children together, it's going to be so, so special. And getting that across to our young people today is like, are you kidding me? I talk to young people, and the thing that really surprised, one of the things really surprises me today, how rapidly things have gotten this way. But they talk about hooking up, and basically, you know, you go out with your friends, and you may not want to date a guy, or he don't want to date you, or you're just good friends at school. But for the entertainment side of things, let's just go ahead and have sex, and it's no big deal. And that's just a common occurrence anymore. It's date sex. It's normal. It's not normal, but it's normal to these young people. And it's really sad because they're taking something very, very special and making it very, very cheap. And the problem is God gave us that desire for that, but he gave us that desire for something special that we do with that person that we're supposed to be with. And when we continually do this, we degrade ourselves. When girls continually do this, they have guilt feelings. Maybe initially they feel like, oh, it's fun. It's a lot of fun, you know. He likes me. Guys like me because I do this. And the whole time they're building this guilt in the back of their mind because they know it's wrong. And over time they begin to think sex is cheap. And then they begin to think they're cheap. And before you know it, they're doing things they never thought they'd do. And things are just a big, ugly mess. See, that's how Satan works. Satan works by making things look like they're so fun and so great that they're no big deal, when really they are a big deal. Young men out there, if you really care about a girl, you're going to respect her. And I want to tell you something, young ladies out there. If you got a boyfriend that refuses to respect that in you, dump him. Because if he doesn't think enough about you to respect you as a woman and to hold you up as something special, you don't need him. It's as simple as that. You don't need him. And I know that out there, I talked to a young lady a couple years ago who was in high school, and she didn't date. And she was telling me why she didn't date. She said, I started dating. She said, but it's so bad out there. She said, I don't want to do the things I'm expected to do. So I decided I'm not going to date till I get out of high school. And if the right person comes along, we start dating, you know, that'll be wonderful. But she said in high school, she said, not only are guys expecting you to do stuff, But she said, the ones I really feel sorry for are the guys that don't. I said, what do you mean? And she said, the guys that don't do that stuff are so ridiculed by the guys in school that do, it isn't funny. It's like the first thing I want to know is, what'd you guys do last night? How far did you get with her? And if you say, no, man, that's not, you know, oh, what kind of sissy are you? Or, you know, what kind of guy are you? You ain't a man. Let me take her out for tonight. I'll take care of her if you're not going to. You know, that's the general attitude. And these are even the good boys that are talking this way. If you couldn't see me on the radio, I'm doing quotation marks on good boys. No, the good boys are the ones that respect the young women. And I know some of those. And I know some of the young women that they respect. And I see where they're going with their lives. And they're going in a direction that are going to make them happy one day. See, you can do all these things you shouldn't do. But you're creating baggage in your life. And that baggage that comes along, you don't get rid of so easily. I think that men have done such a poor job of being the type of man that I described here in Ephesians, which I read, that young women aren't seeing that in their fathers or in the men in their lives, and therefore they're not expecting that out of the boyfriends and guys they have now. I want to tell you, ladies, and I've said this before, I think I said it on a couple shows ago, if you have a boyfriend that you are having children with, that he's fathering your children, and he's not working, he's not respecting you, and he's like, you gotta get that straightened out. You know, if you're just dating some guy, you deserve much, much, much better. And ladies, I wanna say this too, that if you have a young man that wants to treat you with respect and really cares about you, don't expect him to part of the time act like the gutter and part of the time act like a prince. If you got a prince, keep him a prince and respect the fact that you got one and be glad. You know, let him be that man that he wants to be. Encourage him to be that man he wants to be. Ladies, there's nothing wrong with saying no. I will tell you this, that you do not need to have sex as a teenager. There's no great need there that you have to do it. I don't care what Dr. Ruth has said in the past, that you young people don't even know who that is anymore, yeah. or any of these other people that are supposed experts on young people that all they do is lead you down a path of chlamydia and every other transmitted disease you can imagine, because they've said it's all fun and games. And quite frankly, when you end up with a bunch of diseases, whether it's hepatitis B, C, chlamydia, gonorrhea, all of that, that's no fun, folks. Herpes. You don't want to pass that on. No. You know the rate that we're going to be seeing in the next, and we're already seeing it in the years to come, of cervical cancer from some of these things. See, some things that appear to be good, Satan makes look good, but the end is a mess. It's kind of interesting. If you follow what it says in Scripture, how to treat a woman, how a woman's to treat a man, how we're supposed to act towards each other, Terry, nobody gets sick. They don't pass diseases. They stay married. They raise children. They raise grandchildren. The problem is, we're believing the world and what they have to say about stuff. No one wants to teach abstinence anymore. There's nothing wrong with abstinence. There really isn't. It is what truly is the norm. And I have to say, from the girls that I went to school with and the young people, I can't speak for all of them, but I know that most of them that practiced abstinence that I knew of, because, see, I didn't check out every girl, whether they were or they weren't. But the ones that I'm kind of assuming probably did are married today, and they have been so for 30-plus years. Now, granted, it doesn't mean that if you didn't practice abstinence, or you were different, or you had a teen pregnancy or a child in your teens, it doesn't mean that you're a damaged bill of goods. No more than the guy is that did it. When you surrender your life to Christ, he's all forgiving. See, that's why he died on the cross, was to wash our sins away. And we can take in, you don't need to carry guilt. No matter what you've done, you know, if you've whatever you've done that you're carrying guilt over in life, you take it to Jesus and say, thank you for forgiving it. I'm giving it to you. And you start over. But from this point forward, make a decision that what I'm going to do is right. There was a movement going around a few years ago, and I can't remember the exact thing, but it went around and it was called Young Ladies and Young Men Reclaiming Their Virginity. And it was kind of interesting. And what it was talking about was, you know, if you've been promiscuous and done things that you shouldn't and involved in those kind of relationships, you can make a decision right then and there that you are going to do what you're supposed to do and have those standards. And you can. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's right. And you begin to feel more self-worth. You know, I hear constantly from the women's movements and things that they don't like women being viewed as a piece of meat. Well, if you don't want to be viewed as a piece of meat, don't put yourself in a meat case. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And if men, if you want a woman to respect you for the man that you want to be and want to look at you as a masculine man that you are, quit looking in the meat case. You see where I'm at? Because they're not a piece of meat. They're precious and holy. God made women beautiful in every sense of the word. And sometimes the women that are the least attractive to the naked eye or society can be so beautiful it's unbelievable. Because beauty's from the inside. See, man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. And that's where beauty needs to be. You know, a beautiful, physically beautiful woman can be ugly so fast when you get to know them or you get to be around them. And there's women that aren't very attractive at all, but when you get to know them, you just can't take your eyes off them because they're beautiful. And see, the point is that not every girl out there can look like that Miss America beauty queen. But every girl out there can be beautiful on the inside and be that woman that they just can't take their eyes off of that beauty. Do you see where I'm at with that? One's very valuable and the other can be very cheap. But it comes from that relationship with God and what you do with it. And it's so important. Young men, respect your girlfriend. I know it's hard at times. We have these crazy things called male hormones, and girls do, don't know, male, they have female hormones. But male, I know what that drive is, and I don't know that women even understand all the time what that drive is or how hard it can be in young men. I mean, all of a sudden you hit 13, 14, 15, and it's just like, what in the world happened to me? Your mind goes one place all the time, constantly. And it can be difficult. But a lasting, meaningful relationship brings you so much more joy. Understand that one day you will be there. You'll be where you need to be. But you got to do that. You know, when your mind goes somewhere, our minds are funny things. We can give in to temptation, or we can walk away from temptation. Now, the thing that is easiest is always to give in, no matter what it is. You know, if you have a problem with food, you have a problem with alcohol, drugs, spending money, whatever it is, it's easier to give in than to not. But there's this little trick that you can do. You can say, look, God, I don't want to go there. And I promised you I'm going to take my mind somewhere else. And you just take your mind somewhere else. It goes away. You know, it's kind of like the old cold shower thing. You know, take your mind somewhere else completely. It's kind of hard with a young guy because you know, when you feel you're in love with a girl, automatically you have that desire to be physical. But if you really realize what damage that can do to her and you really care about her, you don't want to cause the damage. Do you see what I mean? It's great to go 100 miles an hour in a car. Oh, how that's so much of a thrill. I know, I was a young man. Pedal the metal, man. It's great. But when you see a curve coming up, it's not fun to go 100 miles an hour. And the thing that'll keep you sometimes from going 120 is that thought in your mind of, uh-oh, you know, I wrecked this thing. I'm a dead man. I've seen my friends die. You know, I know about this, is your thinking. Well, it's the same thing. You're going 100 miles an hour with your girlfriend or whoever it is. You think, uh-oh, I know what's going to happen if I go this far. It's going to end a relationship. Or it's going to make that relationship become something we're not ready for. Or there could be A, B, or C. But if I don't, it can be so much better over here. That's where you have to be mature enough to make that decision. And it all comes to maturity. I look at the guys in school from when I was in school and over the years, even from when my kids are in school, there's always those macho guys are out there, you know, the bad boys, you know, all the girls. Why girls are attracted to these morons is beyond me. I shouldn't say it. I'm a pastor calling people morons. Why the world is that girls are attracted to these guys is beyond me.
But I asked that same question. I asked a lady cutting my hair that same question. I said, what is it about
these guys?
Yeah.
But here's what's crazy about these guys. Most of them don't stick around. They make horrible husbands, horrible fathers. But it's like you've got to tempt, you got to check out that fire, you know. And I think I know what that is. It's called Satan. As simple as that. It's that worldly desire that he puts there for that because it's going to hurt you. I have to laugh. There was a guy.
Do you think that some of it is though that maybe they're still, like, the group of friends that they run around with, they're still kind of worried about what they think about them. So if they, you know, if they don't, you see what I'm saying? So they're afraid to drop this guy. You know what I mean? Because then they might be perceived.
Maybe sometimes. They might be perceived. I don't know. I don't know because I've seen it so many times. And it's even the guys sometimes. So you remember the song? This song was really hilarious. It was back in the probably the 70s or 80s.
Okay.
It was, I like my women just a little on the trashy side.
Yeah.
You know, the cocktail waitress with a Dolly Parton wig. You know, boy brings her home. Mom and dad, ain't she cool?
Yeah,
you know, honestly, there's guys that are attracted to that because there's something easy about it.
Ah.
You see what I mean?
Okay.
And with the girls, there's something tough and rough about a guy that is tough and rough and does his, you know. We got to think long term, folks.
Mm-hmm.
We got to, you know, it's interesting. I knew a guy when I was growing up that every girl that he dated, he would have them in block letters, and this is before tattoos were even popular, in block letters on their forearm or their shoulder that would have his initials, bang, 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 or his first name. Every girl did it that he dated. It was kind of funny because you knew who he dated around town because, you know, you see these girls, you were, anyway. Long story short, I don't think he's alive, mm-hmm. and most of those girls aren't. Mm. Now, why? Yeah. Why? We're not that old.
That lifestyle.
He's not that old.
Yeah.
Because you're playing with fire, folks. Sure. If he's a bad boy, he's a bad boy. Teach him he's got to be a good boy. You know what I mean?
I don't even know how to word this, but I guess can you grow up? Can someone grow out of that? Yeah, of course you can, I guess.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of those bad boys, they're just looking for attention too. See, the problem is they haven't seen this at home either. They haven't had the example of the godly father treating the mother the way she should be. They have an example of a mother that demands respect. They haven't seen any of that. And because of that, they're doing what they know to do, and they're trying to get attention just like the girl is. You're looking at this macho, tough guy. The bottom line is he's really weak. See, the tough guy is the one that sits back and says, you know what, no matter what comes down the road, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to treat a girl the way she should be treated. I'm going to look down the road to be goal-oriented. That's the tough guy. That's the macho guy. You see what I mean? We're confused here. You know, we're looking at somebody that probably has very little, how do I want to put it, consistency in their life. A guy that probably isn't the best educated, doesn't worry about grades. They just want to be cool. Cool comes easy to them, you know, and he isn't going to be around long term. But those are still the same very guys that it would do wonders for them if a young lady would say, you know what, I really like you, and I really like you, but you're going to respect me. And by the way, I really don't like those grades you're getting. You know, you're smarter than that. Encourage them. Give them something to aspire to. Hold up a standard and say, you've got to meet this. I went through a difficult time as a young, early teen. My father was killed. I've shared that before on this show, in a car accident. It was actually several years after that, there were issues with the way I thought about things, and I finally grew out of it. I don't think the people around me really understood what I was going through for a long time. But one thing that I did was became the class clown. It was out of pain, but I did. And I was always, you know, on the edge and edgy and that kind of stuff, you know. And one day I realized that when I was about in 10th grade, I realized that the girls that were nice girls in school didn't think I was funny anymore. Matter of fact, they were kind of going the other way, like, you know, I'm kind of tired of his, you know. And it woke me up. I realized, wait a minute, you know, I got to grow up here. I got to grow up. And, you know, the next 2 years, there was a lot of struggles I still went through. But one thing I quit doing, I stopped getting in trouble. I stopped being a class clown. I realized that, you know, hey, I got to make something of myself. And there's a story I do want to share, because you asked this question, Terry. Or can guys find their way back? There was a young man that I'll just come out that I don't think she'd care. My daughter dated a young man in high school, and unbeknownst to me, he was probably one of the school bad boys. Matter of fact, I know he was. And I stepped in and said, you know, this wasn't good. It wasn't going, and I was right in doing so. It was a bad crowd. It was a bad guy. And she was going down, you know, it was showing in everything about her, her demeanor, her dress, her self-confidence, her grades, everything were suddenly going south. So I stepped in and I said, as a father, and I said, here's what's going to happen here. And he even called me. He said, can I please date your daughter? And I said, I'm sorry. I said, you done blew that chance, because he did, and I'm not going into detail, but he kind of blew that chance just in what he was doing, who he was. And even at her graduation, he had dropped out. And at her graduation, he and some of his buddies sat behind us heckling when she went across the stage. It was just not good at all. But here's the deal. Several years later, I don't know how it happened, but several years later, he was introduced to the Word of God, into Jesus Christ, and he accepted Christ, and he turned his life completely around. And he is a great father and man today. Now, I did what I had to do as a dad, and my daughter will tell you every day that thank you, Lord, for what Dad did. You know, because she has a wonderful husband, a wonderful family, she'll admit, I needed that badly. Thank God you pulled me out of that. Because once we did, her whole high school experience changed. The next 2 or 3 years were wonderful. And she was one of the most popular girls for the right reasons. And she was active in sports, and she was just a wonderful young lady. And but she never stopped praying for this guy either. And God changed his life. So yes, those young men can change. But here's what's got to happen. Someone's got to tell them, you got to change. You can't keep letting them do what they're doing and tell them it's all going to be good, because it's not. I mean, it really isn't. These poor guys are going to get out of school, and all of a sudden, they're not funny anymore. And they can't get a good job. And their boss don't think they're funny. And they end up usually with a drinking problem, or they end up with a drug problem, or their life begins to spiral. Before you know it, they got kids here, kids there, kids here, kids there. And they're having to pay for them, the courts are chasing them, and life, it just stinks. And that's where these guys are headed. So What I'm saying is, what I want to come back to this as we wrap this up. Dad, Mom, you've got some real responsibilities out there. You know, Dad, don't say, oh, son, you're 16 and crack a beer and hand it to him and say, now you're a real man. No, he's not. He's a kid that needs direction. Now, I know many guys that have done that. I know a kid that dropped out of school and he was 16, called his dad, said, Dad, I've been walking out of school. He said, I'll meet you out front, son. And his kid got in his dad's truck and his son dropped a 12-pack in his lap and said, now you're a man. Well, I'm not going to tell you the outcome of that because it's just plain ugly. But, I mean, that's not being a father. A father is that one that says, that is willing to say either he's been doing what's right and he shares that up front, or he's made mistakes and he sits his son down and says, look, son, I was wrong. And here's the kind of man you need to be. And this is the way you need to treat a woman. And I was wrong the way I treated your mother, or whatever the case. I don't want you to follow in those steps. That's what a father's got to be. And, you know, a mother can say, you know what, to their daughter, maybe I wasn't the best example of a mom, but I'd wish I'd done A, B, and C. And let me help you be the young lady and the woman that I should have been all along. And folks, I want to tell you something. Get them in church.
Does that also go back to what you talked about a couple of shows ago about being friends with them, you know, instead of...
Oh, absolutely. These mom that want to be friends with their daughters and try to look just like them and dress like them, how foolish. They need to be mentors and mothers, not wearing the same miniskirt, the same makeup, and going to the same tanning booth, and mom trying to emulate the daughter. It ruins them both. It truly does. And, you know, the thing is, I want to tell you something, young ladies out there. If you're a young lady that's struggling and you haven't had that home life and don't even know it, the church would love to love you. And you may finally find a family. If you don't know what a family is, you come to our church at 209 East Water Street, Community Christian Fellowship. Call the church, 740-494-2222. Call us. Let us know you're coming, that you want to, you know, that you need something. We will be your family and show you what a true family can really be. Because a lot of young people don't have that today and don't even understand it. Having a baby does not make you family. Siring a child does not make you family. Family is something far deeper than that. You know, having babies won't solve your problem. It really won't. That boyfriend that wants you to get pregnant but don't want to marry you, hey, let me tell you something. That's not going to solve your problem, but God will. And there's those around you. There's those that love God that will help you with that problem. Hey, this is Pastor Steve Whitaker. It's been a good fast evening tonight.
Yeah, quick.
Yeah, I think so. I hope that you've listened to this, that you understand somewhat of what I'm talking about, young lady. Mom, this is in the archives. You got a daughter, a granddaughter, anyone that needs to hear this, archive this baby at WWGH 107. 107.1 FM, mm-hmm. And have them listen to it in archives. It's something that you need to hear. This is a message that needs to get out there. God bless you guys. Have a great Terry. You have a wonderful week.
Thank you.
And stay dry tomorrow and
Absolutely.
Stay warm the days
yes.
later.
Yes.
God bless you all.
Thank you.
Bye.